Welcome to the In Development Podcast. My name is Allison.
And my name is Lilith. And this is the podcast for all you city builders, city shapers, and city dwellers that care about driving change towards people-centered communities. On In Development, we talk about how Canadian cities develop in and up. We are presented by IDEA, the Infill Development in Edmonton Association. It's a nonprofit education and advocacy group, bringing together like-minded people working to shape our city.
Our guest today is Jordan Denault. Jordan is a business development manager at Underground Disposal Systems, which is a Western Canadian distributor of underground waste collection systems. He's been with UDS for over 3 years, and his focus is on helping improve the waste management experience, right from working with developer and architect partners through to the end users.
So we had an interesting conversation with Jordan, and this episode really focused on underground waste disposal bins. So we talked about really what they are, where they're used in a city, what their advantages are, and what their current state of being is, I guess, in Edmonton and the region, where they're being used, how they're being used. So it's quite an eye-opening conversation.
Yeah, I wasn't too familiar with the underground waste bins, but so this was a really great learning experience for me too. And we just had one definition that we wanted to point out for our listeners before we get into our conversation with Jordan. So he refers to HDPE when we're talking about the materials used in the waste bins. And this is high density polyethylene, which is a type of plastic that's used as part of the underground bin system. So without further ado, let's get into our interview with Jordan. Welcome to the show, Jordan. Thanks for coming on the podcast today. We're excited to talk to you about waste management.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, good. We're happy to have you here. So before we dive into the very exciting topic of waste management, we just want to learn a little bit more about who you are. So can you tell us a little bit about your background? How did you get involved in the infill industry? And how did you get involved with IDEA?
So yeah, my name's Jordan with Underground Disposal. We're a locally owned company here in Edmonton. We're the sole distributors of the earth bin and silo semi-underground waste collection systems. We've been in the underground garbage collection game for over 10 years now. Started out, like I said, here in Edmonton, and since we've expanded out to kind of all markets of Western Canada. And we got involved with the infill community through Rainin at Clarity and a couple other members of the IDEA team had been in contact with them and you know, just saw it as a good opportunity to connect with the infill market as that kind of becomes more of a focus within the city of Edmonton.
I have a question for you. It mostly stems from me not knowing how old the company actually is, but did you start with them from the very beginning, or did you join them a little bit later on?
I'm newer. I've been with Underground Disposal for 3 years now. But like I said, the company's been around for over 10 years. It's been quite the 10 years of their history. Started out with, there was only about 40 to 50 underground systems through all of Alberta. And to date, there's, you know, roughly 4,000 semi-underground systems used throughout the province. And it's grown, the interest is growing in BC as well as Saskatchewan and Manitoba. It's been like underground systems have been, they've been around for, you know, 50 years, mostly in Europe. They came over to Canada about 25 years ago. It's not a new concept.
Are you mainly overseeing integration of underground waste systems in the Edmonton region, or are you also looking over at, you know, what they're doing in the other provinces, like you said?
Yeah, so I started out just in Edmonton. This is where I'm from, Edmonton, so you know, it's kind of my backyard. I've since kind of taken on the role of overseeing and helping other municipalities and developers and architects in you know, other municipalities such as Kelowna and the Lower Mainland, just to support them to integrate these systems into their waste management plans, and just kind of utilize the benefits that that semi-underground waste collection can provide versus the traditional front load dumpsters, which little waste management fun fact, the dumpster's been around since like the 1940s and it hasn't had a whole lot of innovation since then. So not many things from the 1940s are still used today.
Yeah, I think that's kind of for our listeners, a sort of traditional forms of waste management. I think most people will know what that is, right? It's the big bins that are behind your building. You know, if it's a larger building, or, you know, individual houses will have the smaller bins that they roll out. But when we think on the larger scale, it's those big bins with lids that are hard to lift and they take up a lot of space. And I know that for some of our clients, when they're designing the site, like making sure that they understand the waste management, or sorry, that like the waste collection requirements is really important, because too often they'll go and they'll design their building and then they've realized that they haven't left enough space for the enclosure and the bins, or they haven't provided the right angle for the truck to come in and empty that bin. So there's a lot of challenges, you know, just during the site planning process right at the beginning that have to be taken into consideration. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for more efficiency with the underground bin. So kind of, I think that kind of leads into it. So can you just explain a little bit about the underground bins? Like, how do they work? How are they set up? How do you empty them? Let's just give our listeners an overview of what they are for anyone who's not familiar with them.
Yeah, for sure. So semi-underground systems, there's two types. There's a front load semi-underground approach, as well as a crane lifted one. The crane lifted semi-underground approach provides so many benefits when it comes to waste collection. You'll see them around the Edmonton area on a lot of the commercial sites utilize them. Most people don't know what they are at first until you tell them. It's, you know, those circular things on all the commercial sites. That's a crane lifted semi-underground bin. How they collect and store the garbage is really where you see the benefits. The truck doesn't need that 100 feet of direct access to the bin. It can just pull up from, you know, any approach at any angle and pick up off of any side of the truck by utilizing the reach of that crane. So you can reduce the space requirements by up to 90% when compared to traditional front load dumpsters. So when you're talking about trying to be as efficient with space as possible and kind of reducing the urban sprawl that so many municipalities in the prairies have done over the years, that space requirement for waste collection is just such a dead, it's kind of just a dead, inefficient use of the property on site. So on collection day, when the crane comes and hooks up to the bin, they pull a lifting bag out of the bin part that you see, with the kind of the decorative framing. So the bag gets lifted out, swung over to the back of the truck, or over where the hopper or the compactor is on the truck, and then it's all emptied out of the bottom as opposed to being flipped over top. So there's some benefits there as well. The touch points for the users stay clean. You know, it helps to minimize odors, keeps the property and the surrounding surfaces around the bins clean. So, but I mean, like, you know, from an infill context, the space saving capabilities that the underground systems offer is really a, you know, a major benefit to that.
I really hear you, Jordan, on that one, because our company, when we design multifamily sites, we often find that, you know, the traditional bins, the road requirements around them, the spacing for the bins. In addition, now there's an encouragement from the city to incorporate compost bins as well. There's a lot of space that it takes up, and oftentimes we find that we have to get creative to design them in a certain way that will still allow room for amenities, for example, landscape features on site. I think that's an ongoing challenge for planners, designers, developers right now.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. As we stream our waste at the source, you know, it requires more receptacles, more space, more approach, just more planning. Semi-underground systems. So with the crane lifted systems, you can get a waste. So you can get a 6.5 yard waste, a 6.5 yard recycle, and an organics or a compost bin, all into, you know, a fairly confined space. If with the proper planning, you can get it into kind of your traditional 18-foot parking space. So you can get three bins into the equivalent of what would be one space on site when you kind of compare that to dumpsters and traditional systems. You would need almost a parking space per receptacle unless you had it on casters or wheels, and actually and the waste hauler caddied it out to a collection space.
And Jordan, I have another question to you regarding some of the differences between, you know, the traditional waste systems as well as the underground waste systems. Would the pickup times or schedules or capacities differ between those two?
Yeah, so the pickup times, when it comes to the collection process itself, it does take a little bit longer with crane lifted because the driver actually has to get out. He has to hook up the crane to the bin and then put the bag back down into the bin once it's emptied. You know, I'd say a good hauler can have that done in under 2 minutes. With a traditional dumpster, you know, you're probably looking at 35, 45 seconds for them to perform, just like the driver just drives up, hooks the forks and, you know, puts the forks out in through it, flips it overhead and puts it back down. But if you look at in a lot of the multifamily sites in the Edmonton area where they've got internal collection rooms, they need to be able to caddy those bins out and wheel them out. So typically bins that are on casters are only 4 yards. So the capacity is 30% less just off of pure volume of the bin. So that it's going to have a higher collection frequency, or they're going to need more bins. So, you know, it's either going to take up more space, or that truck's going to have to come to site more often.
Jordan, I sort of related to the actual underground bins. I did have a question for you about the bag. Like, what is it made out of? Are there issues with the bag tearing and then they have to be replaced? Or is that something that the design has sort of evolved over time and it's now become like a really robust piece of the product?
Yeah, Alison, that's a good question. That's a common question that comes up anytime you're associating lifting bags with garbage. So the bags are made out of a woven polypropylene. It's extremely durable. The manufacturers designed them to be able to handle large amounts of waste. You know, the safe lifting capacities exceed the weight of the waste. They're designed to be lifted and capture your standard municipal solid wastes, your standard mixed recyclings. Where challenges or problems will arise is if there's objects being thrown in that aren't supposed to be disposed of in an underground system. That can be tied to illegal dumping. And something that underground systems, they've kind of used a design feature to help minimize that illegal dumping. So the user openings on the tops are significantly smaller than the big openings and lids on your standard conventional dumpsters. So that piece helps to minimize the chances of any illegal dumping happening in a semi-underground system. But also, the only people that are required to have a key to these systems are the tenants or the users or the occupants themselves. As I mentioned in like kind of the collection process, the hauler hooks up to the top and all the waste falls out of the bottom. So it minimizes the chance that the bin gets left unlocked for illegal dumpers to come by and target it.
And in the context of these tourist towns like Banff or Jasper, that's probably really helpful when thinking about, you know, animals not being able to get in to these dumpsters. I don't know if that's ever come up as an opportunity for incorporating underground waste systems, but that's just something that pops in my mind.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that's come up over the years as having, you know, animal resistant lids and that.
One benefit, Jordan, that I don't think you talked about earlier, but I've been hearing about, is how underground waste systems may either directly or indirectly have impact on housing affordability. You know, housing affordability is such a hot topic right now. So I was wondering if you had any insight on that.
Affordability is kind of tied to a lot of factors. Obviously, you know, the availability of housing, is there enough availability on the market? Costs associated with operating the housing project or the housing facility. Since, you know, kind of tied back to the reduction in space requirements, you can gain more units. We've seen it in past projects where developers have been able to, you know, eliminate that waste collection room or eliminate that enclosure staging area and add additional units to the, you know, townhouse development or to the apartment development, which, you know, just in turn helps to, you know, increase the supply of housing in the market, which ultimately helps to drive down costs of housing. And then from an operating cost standpoint, to help make it more affordable once you're in the house to be able to afford to stay in it, you know, these bins have a greater capacity. So the cost for collections goes down, the less frequencies, the less, you know, the less times the truck has to come to site, your costs per yardage of collection go down, which then in turn helps to minimize the operating costs. We've had conversations with some of the property managers and landlords associations in the Edmonton area over the years. And we've heard that, you know, costs associated with waste collection, such as, you know, as we mentioned, illegal dumping, they can really rack up quite the significant bill, which, you know, that bill just gets passed on to the residents ultimately.
Are there any other challenges that you see in the application of the underground bins and, you know, sort of changing over from the traditional bins that we see? Like, what are some of the things that would potentially be an issue to get an underground bin in place?
So with traditional dumpsters, primarily they require a reinforced pad with an enclosure built around them. The underground systems, you know, they kind of act as their own enclosure because the main well stays anchored in the ground at all times, and it's just the lifting bag that gets collected. The ability to eliminate the need for enclosures, we've seen in, you know, most municipalities, they kind of waive that requirement for underground systems. Enclosures kind of serve two purposes. One, it's to hide the dumpsters, and the other purpose is for safety and security of the bins. But what we've found with a lot of these enclosures is they cause safety concerns and safety risks on site, whether that's from illicit illegal activities happening, because they're hot targets for, they draw that kind of activity, but also line of sight issues. Some of these enclosures are quite massive structures, and they can be in areas where, you know, they create significant blind spots on site, which can then lead to, you know, accidents. Accidents take a split second to happen. So with underground systems, one thing you'll notice is it greatly improves that line of sight on the property and on the development. So you can really see, you know, if there is any potential risks or accidents, and kind of mitigate them from happening. Another kind of safety piece that goes back to the collection process as well is the truck remains stationary during collections, and the driver actually has to get out to be able to hook the crane up to it so they can assess if there's any hazards or any risks in the area, whereas opposed to front load garbage trucks, that driver stays inside the whole time. They don't see any potential risks from happening. They're just trying to get in and out of the site as quick as possible.
And Jordan, when you talk about enclosure requirements, I just want to confirm, is that for residential and commercial developments, or are we just talking about enclosures for residential?
So in Edmonton, on commercial, there's no requirements for enclosures with semi-underground systems. But we've heard from industry that there's a potential for the city requiring them to still have some sort of screening around the bins, even if they went with a semi-underground system on a residential application.
I think then in that case, you would lose some of the efficiency that you gain from the underground system, right? Because it takes up less space and you're able to provide the security on the bin itself. If you have to then have an enclosure, that takes up more space and you're losing that advantage that you would normally gain from using an underground bin, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely going to cut into that, you know, up to 90% space savings number if you still require an enclosure or screening to be around the bins. It's definitely going to cut into that. There's still significant space savings to be had, but some of that efficiency is definitely going to be cut.
And I think vandalism would be one of the safety or nuisance issues that these screening measures would be prone to. I've seen some examples of that in the past, and unless it's a chain link fence, of course. But
oh, they'll still try that.
spray paint over it.
You think the Picassos of the world, they weren't looking for a round slatted object to do their masterpieces on. They were looking for flat, smooth surfaces like an enclosure.
they probably thought to themselves, challenge accepted. And
yeah.
Now, and we're going to encourage like a whole new set of artists who now want to paint murals on the side of underground bins.
Yeah.
So I wanted to take a step back a little bit and take a big picture of what's happening, at least in Alberta, with these underground systems. So we really want to know where these bins are being used in Edmonton or even within Alberta, to your knowledge. What's the current context? Are they used often in our province? Maybe not so much, and maybe they're more popular in other provinces. What's your take on this?
So Alberta is definitely kind of the pioneers of underground systems in the West. As I mentioned earlier, there's roughly 4,000 bins in use in Alberta, and that's on a wide range of property types. Down in Calgary, you'll see them an awful lot on multifamily, mixed use, townhouse type projects, as well as commercial. In Edmonton here, you'll see them a lot on commercial sites. They're in parks. Some light industrial developments have utilized the systems. Seniors care facilities utilize the systems. There's an offering for almost any type of development or property type. Obviously, we know, those heavy industrial sites, they've got more specialized waste, and they're going to be streaming and diverting it at the source so that it gets disposed of and sorted properly. In Alberta, these systems are used on pretty much every property type you can imagine.
I actually didn't know that these bins could be used for light industrial or you said seniors facilities, like medical or quasi-medical waste. So that's great. That's something new that I learned just now.
Yeah. There's a couple of them here in Edmonton. There's a seniors care facility in Secord that utilizes the bins, as well as there's Grace Village on the north end. And then even out in Spruce Grove, there's the St. Michael's seniors care facility as well that utilizes underground systems for some of the streams that they're accumulating on their properties.
Yeah, I think the example that I know the best is in the brewery district. I think that's the first time I ever saw the underground bins, and they look so much nicer, like than if you had like a massive dumpster where those bins are, right?
And there's a lot of them in the brewery district.
Yeah, there are, yeah. But they fit in aesthetically with the area, right? And it doesn't. It's not immediately obvious that this is a garbage system. Like, you know, it's something, but it's not like seeing a big blue waste bin, right? It sort of fits within the context of the development quite nicely.
Yeah, this makes me think, you know, how we have our zoning regulations where we have to screen or put the waste bins in, you know, in the rear or the side yards of the properties. And I wonder if that would be something that is different for these underground bins because of how nice they look. And they certainly don't appear to me as a site of nuisance, for the lack of a better term.
Absolutely, Lilith. We, you know, as the use of these systems grows and has grown over the years, we've seen, you know, designers and landscape architects really get creative with how they've integrated them into the landscape plan. By, you know, almost making them into gardens. They integrate them into the landscape. They'll have shrubs and grass and trees, you know, additional trees on site instead of just having big metal cans. They've really been able to put it out and blend it into the facade of the building instead of just trying to hide it.
Yeah. And I think for sites that have, you know, a more of a unique structure, or maybe they don't have access to a lane, this is a solution that would probably be a great option for sites like that, right? Where it's like, okay, well, we need to have waste bins, obviously, but we can't hide them in the lane behind our building. And so we can have this option where it looks like aesthetically more pleasing, but we're also, you know, meeting our waste servicing requirements that we need to have.
It's funny, like most people have probably seen these systems around the city and have no idea what they are. So they're doing a good job of blending in. Everyone knows what a dumpster is because they see them as an eyesore everywhere. But, you know, even just talking with, you know, when I meet with new customers or new industry members, and they say, oh, so what is it that you guys do? And I kind of say to them, you know, those circular objects that are on, you know, this site or that site or brewery district, to your example, that's what we do. Those are garbage cans. They go, oh, geez, I don't know that.
So could you give us a couple of examples of your projects in the city for both commercial and residential? I'm really curious to know what they are and maybe do a little weekend road trip to see how they've been integrated into these sites. I'm getting really curious about these.
Yeah, so in Edmonton, in the Edmonton area, for multi-residential sites, you can go out to Sherwood Park. There's a Carrington development out there called Edison on the Park. We installed 6 bins out there to be utilized for their waste and recycling. And they're right in the middle, you know, right in the middle of the parking lot when you drive in. You know, they weren't trying to hide them from anybody. They're centralized, conveniently located for all tenants on that site. Another one you can go and check out, there's Grace Village, as I mentioned, that's a seniors housing facility or housing property in Edmonton. But also up in St. Albert, there's a couple townhouse developments that have utilized underground systems for their developments. There's Cobalt Beach up in Jensen Lakes. Down in Beaumont, you can check out Landrex's development down there. East Pines, they've integrated. They're still in the construction process, so I'm not sure how well you'll be able to see them. But that's another site in the Edmonton area that has these systems. In Edmonton specifically, there's one of the new developments downtown, mixed use development downtown called Mercury Block. There's bins that are being utilized for the commercial piece on Mercury Block. And then there's the second phase of Mercury Block going up across the street, which they're also going to be utilizing underground systems on.
That's a lot. That's quite a lot. And I know you have quite a few projects in Calgary, an area as well, in their new greenfield development areas, right?
Yeah. There's lots of, we work with a lot of the developers down in Calgary. For example, you know, Brookfield, Rohit, Jamin, we work with them on their kind of townhouse, multi-residential apartment style, greenfield projects to be as efficient as they can with their waste collection. It's kind of almost become second nature for them to incorporate these systems early in the design process, because they've also experienced the challenges of trying to incorporate waste collection on a property. Once all of the the glamorous things have been done on the design, to then look at the waste, it's not exactly the most appealing thing for everybody to want to tackle when you're thinking of a new development. But I always say waste collection and waste management is one of the few things that you'll have on every property, regardless of its size and regardless of what type of property it is.
Is that saying there's like two certainties in life, death and taxes, but maybe there's three? It's death, taxes, and waste servicing.
That's a good one.
That's almost like an inspirational or a motivational quote that you need to print out, Jordan. And
You know, I think in some of the other projects that you guys have worked on, the bins can be installed in the areas where you've got soft landscaping, and it kind of gets to be part of the green space. Can you talk a little bit more about how that works and why it works?
Yeah, so since the trucks don't need reinforced pads and the bins themselves don't need to be finished in a concrete or asphalt hard surface, they can be incorporated into just your, wherever there's dirt or grass on site. And it allows that space to be freed up for, uses to kind of increase that percentage of green space on site. We've been working with municipalities in BC, as well as other areas to help incorporate and have, the systems that the space that our systems are in kind of incorporated and included into that green space, that minimum green space number, as we densify and everything becomes more compact with our housing, in all municipalities, there's a lot of green space and trees and just landscaping that's getting eaten up, as we infill and grow with densification. We've seen developers and property owners utilize that space that they've freed up to be able to get more trees, get more green space, have more amenity space, whether it's for little dog runs on the site or just little sitting areas for the residents to have on the property. By pulling that collection room outside, it's also allowed people to utilize that collection space inside the building. We've seen they use it for storage lockers, or they've utilized it for bike parking. They've converted that collection room into a bike parking or bike storage unit for the residents of the building.
Another up and rising amenity space in these new multifamily buildings is pet wash stations, which I love, but I just wanted to add that as a side note of the benefits.
That's the key selling feature.
That's the deal breaker, yeah.
You can have the dog run outside and the dog wash room inside. There you go.
That's right. No, that's great. It's interesting to see how just the way these bins are, underground bins are constructed, what all these opportunities that are getting unlocked on our multifamily sites. This is great, whether it's, an additional unit that you can put in with the added space, or if it's additional green space that you will have for amenities for the residents. Either one is better than having less usable space. So What about some environmental considerations that these underground bins have to undergo? I know there's no concrete underneath. We have the plastic bags with the waste in them. What are some risks and considerations in terms of the environment?
So the portion that gets installed underground, like the part that you actually see, the bin or the well itself, is roto-molded bin, which is leak-proof. So it captures and retains any liquid waste from leaching into the soils around, or if it's installed, you know, if it's installed down by the river, it's going to capture that and prevent them from leaching into the river systems. And then, you know, since it accumulates in the bottom, the wet waste accumulates in the bottom, it just has to be sucked out. Or we have additional options available on the bags. It's called the semi-rigid cup on the bottom, which captures that liquid waste from accumulating in the bottom. So there is kind of environmental measures in place to prevent any leaching. The roots of these systems are designed with the environment in mind. At the end of the product's life cycle, every component is recyclable. So,
wow, that's great. I didn't know you could recycle the underground bins, like the top portion too, right? You mean?
Yeah, because it's all like the framing itself is post-consumer recycled plastics, and then the well is high density HDPE. So, it's at the end of its life cycle, it can be recycled.
That's great. So it's good to hear that there are preventative measures in place in case of any risks associated with, let's say someone illegally dumps something in those bins. There are some preventative measures that are in place. And I'm hearing from this episode, there are quite a lot of benefits associated with this underground bin system. Haven't heard too many cons, or maybe I'm being a little subjective here because I really like the way they look. I don't know.
No, I agree, Lilith. I think it's been really great to learn about the bins and all of the advantages that they can bring with their use. And I think there's some really great opportunities to be innovative as we, you know, move forward with densifying our city, right? I think that kind of brings us to the end of the episode. So, Jordan, we like to wrap up the episode with a call to action from our guests. So is there anything that you want our listeners to know, or a key takeaway that you'd like to leave them with today?
So garbage is usually an afterthought on most projects. People just consider garbage is garbage, right? So one thing I would encourage is to, you know, take some time and learn some more about underground waste collection systems. There's going to be a page on the IDEA website that's going to have some more information on these systems. It'll be underneath the hot topics section. There'll also be a feedback form on there. So I encourage any designers, developers, architects out there that have used these products, that have used underground systems on previous projects, or are currently trying to incorporate them into a current project, to give some feedback on there. You know, we're always trying to find out how we can, you know, provide better products, provide better waste collection solutions for industry members and the ones who ultimately are using these systems. My contact information will also be in this on this info page. So if you want to discuss further on any topics that maybe we didn't cover, or, you know, if there's questions that you have that you'd like to, you know, have a one-on-one discussion, feel free to reach out to myself, and I'd be more than happy to take some time and answer those questions and any concerns that there are.
That's awesome, Jordan. Thanks for this such a great call to action and for doing this episode with us. I've, as always, learned a lot with these podcast episodes, and I hope your work in Alberta progresses and as these underground waste systems take off, and sounds like they're getting more and more popular. Hope you don't get too busy, have time to go golfing too. keep that work-life balance going as this trend takes off.
Well, one more thing. Keep an eye out for the underground disposal garbage truck that's hitting the roads April 1st.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan. It was great to chat with you today.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
So that was fun. I was really surprised how integrated underground waste systems already are and how prevalent they already are in our municipal system, as well as in the region and in different provinces too. That was great to hear from Jordan how maybe some provinces are ahead of others, or some municipalities are ahead of others in terms of their integration. So that was pretty eye-opening.
Yeah, it was a really great chat. I definitely learned a lot about the waste bins, and now I keep seeing them everywhere I go in Edmonton. Yeah. And I think it's one of the highlights that I took away from our conversation is I think often people think that infrastructure can't be visually appealing or, you know, at least fit within the context of a site design. But I think these bins are an example of how they can be incorporated into, say, the landscaping design or the overall site design and not be like a giant eyesore for the development. And it's one of those things, we always need waste surfacing that's never going to go away. And so I think this is just a great example of how we can make the things that we have to use prettier.
For lack exactly. of a better. I feel like they just sell themselves and these new systems, and you know, there's not much else we can say to you know, showcase how they're just useful. They're useful in the context of urban development, and especially in the context of infill where you're working around limited space.
Yeah, totally. We did also have one fact check for our listeners here. Oh, yeah. So during the conversation, I referred to the sort of like famous death and taxes quote, which I didn't know who that was attributed to. I think it's just out in the universe used very frequently, but it's actually a quote from Benjamin Franklin. And from what I could find, the full quote is, "Our new constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency. But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes."
did we say in the episode that it was like Roosevelt or something like that who said that? Or did we name a different president?
I don't think we named anyone, because I've never known who said it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those that people say all the time, right?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's great. So the episode was enlightening. We hopefully the listeners can take the time to learn about, you know, this new innovation that is currently happening all across Canada. But we also wanted to quickly highlight some IDEA events that are coming up. We've got IDEA Spring Infill Tour that's going to take place on April 20th. So from what I know, there are going to be 4 featured projects on the guided tour, followed with a post-tour networking session. And I don't know which 4 feature projects there are going to be. So I think that might be a surprise for all the attendees. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I'm sure it'll be announced before the tour once they have more information confirmed, or maybe it'll be a surprise. Mm. But we'll keep you posted on the next episode if we have updates on that. And I think that's it for IDEA events that are coming up. Hopefully everyone can make it out to the infill tour. Alrighty, with that, we'll wrap up today's episode. So as usual, you can find IDEA at infilledmonton.com and on Instagram and Twitter at infilledmonton and on Facebook at infillyag. The podcast episodes are on the IDEA website, or you can subscribe to In Development wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and we also have a dedicated podcast email if you have any ideas for topics you'd like to hear about or some guests you'd like to suggest for the episodes. Definitely send us your thoughts. So the email is podcast@infilledmonton.com. And thanks for listening. My name is Lilith.
And my name is Allison. Catch you next time.